He ran to him nearer and nearer because he wants to get as near as he can. And one shot of his sling stone was all it took. And so for a moment, when that stone flew with the anointing of God, hit Goliath right in the forehead. For a moment, he could not move. And then, if David were an Australian, he would have said, "Timber!" Sound effects are not mine, they're not in the Bible. And as Goliath fell, David ran to him, and David did not even have a sword. So imagine, he has to go, take Goliath's big giant sword, heave it up, and he will cut Goliath's head as he strike the aorta or the artery, the main artery of Goliath's neck. Imagine Goliath, his neck was probably that big. How much blood was there? I could see the blood coming out, not just flowing like a river. It was a fountain. It gushed out. The moment he cut that artery, he go, shoom! And the blood came out like a fountain. And it splashed all over David. And his white garments now look red. And not only that, David grabbed Goliath's head. And he brought it back to the Israelite camp. When all the Israelites saw that, you know what they found? Courage. They found courage. Their fear was gone. And they go, "Yeah!" And then they all started, and all the Philistines ran away. Because one boy had learned to fight. Now, David was trained as a fighter. And this is the story. If David had not learned to fight the lion and the bear, God couldn't have used him for Goliath. That's an absolute truth. God was training him. There were patterns in David's life. When you look at Saul's life, or Paul, later the Apostle Paul, you look at his life, God was training him even to be a leader from his young days. You are told in Galatians that he was always above his contemporary. He always wanted to go one step further than all the people in following God. He was a zealous man after God. And he says he always goes above his contemporary. Take the second mile to please God. But he did not know the truth. And he ended up on the opposite side of God. In the end, he turned to God and was used by God mightily. There are patterns of God training in our life. So we learn from Joseph that if you want to discover what God's will is in your life, in your destiny, yes, amen. Look at what God has been training you to do in your past. In your spiritual training, in your talents, in your giftings, in your people skills. Because they give you a clue to the direction God is bringing you. And that's how amazing God is. He starts training you even before you know it. Everything in your life has a purpose. Every trial in your life has a purpose. God is training you for His destiny. So look for the patterns of His training in your life, and you'll find the seeds of your future destiny. And the second point I just mentioned, but won't go into detail, we'll go into detail the next week. The second point is this, in discovering God's destiny. You need to be around the right people and atmosphere to reach God's destiny. In this world, no one can be where they are without the help the influence of another person who has gone before them. Joseph would not have become an overseer if Potiphar did not find favor with him, given him a chance. David would not have become a chief prison administrator if the prison keeper had not found favor with Joseph. Joseph would not have a chance, he wouldn't even have a chance to stand before Pharaoh if he had not met the butler in prison. Chance meeting, chance friendship, no. Ordained friendships, ordained meetings of the right people in the right place, in the right atmosphere. One of the laws of discovering God's destiny in your life is to be in the right, with the right people, in the right place, with the right atmosphere. As we all know, in Psalms 1, it tells you, the wrong people can turn you away from God. Correct? Hanging with the wrong crowd can actually turn you away from your destiny. That's how a lot of young people fall. Not because they were inherently bad, but because they yielded to bad influences. Ask anyone who is a smoker today, whether they started smoking all by themselves or because they started with a group of friends. You'll find that somewhere along the line, the wrong friends have brought them further from God. Now, if that is a truth that we all know, then how much more when we have the right friendship and the right influence in our life, that we will be drawn in the right direction in God. Amen? And so you have in Joseph's life, so you have in Paul's life. When Paul's ministry started, it's because of his friendship with Barnabas. Because Paul could not find any place for ministry. He tried and tried and got rejected. And then when he went to the next place, he got rejected. In the end, he went back to his hometown. You never hear him again. But he has already made friendship with a man named Barnabas. So in Acts 11, you read about how when Barnabas saw the revival that was going on in Antioch, the first name that Barnabas had from the Spirit was, go and get Saul to help you. And so Barnabas traveled all the way to Tarsus, took Paul and said, come and help me in Antioch. Pack your clothes and follow me. And so Barnabas opened a door for Paul to start his ministry. And in all of our lives, there will be people that we need to meet, friendships we need to form, be in the right place, in the right atmosphere, is a part of discovering our destiny, or God's will for our life. We'll touch more in these areas, but there are two points that I impress. One is discover patterns in your life, in your past, where God is training. They will help you give a glimpse of which direction you should be going in. Second is to remember to associate with the right friendship, with the right people that will draw you towards God's destiny for your life. Because in the right place at the right time, it's only those people whom God will use to open the door for the destiny that God has ordained for you all your entire life. Let's pray.